ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, February 25th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, as always, and joined by Dwayne Mullins. And our guest today, Dan Riccio. From Vancouver Sportsnet Fan 650 and a new podcast, Fine Lines. What a great name. How you doing, Dan?
We're doing well. How you guys doing?
Good. It's a little early out there on the West Coast, of course, so we do thank you for your time today on our Whitecaps preview. Let's just jump right in. So much turnover with the Whitecaps in this offseason. Obviously, something was wrong at the end of last year. So let's start with last year real quick. That closing press conference, you've been around. Have you ever seen anything as crazy as that?
Absolutely not. It was, as we've coined it now, the Media Day Massacre from the Whitecaps. And it was, you know, you could tell that there was something stinky going on with the team in the locker room because they were a lot more talented than they showed to be, at least I thought, towards the end of last year. And something wasn't jiving right, and Kendall Waston was, you know, asking for his way out of town, you know, 2 months before the season was over. It was certainly something that was all coming to a head, and then it blew up there on media day, and you kind of knew it, especially as Robbo's tenure kind of ended on a sour note as well. So it's kind of what happened this offseason, and all this turnover is something that needed to be done. And if I were to tell you that after Media Day Massacre I would feel as optimistic about where the team is headed as I do today, I probably would have told you you're crazy, and that's not possible because it's just been a complete 180 over the last few months as Mark DeSantos has taken charge.
Well, MDS is, in my mind, the brightest coach that I've ever dealt with. Such a thoughtful person about the game and about life in general. You know, when you look at all of the changes that the Whitecaps have made, is there anyone more important than bringing in MDS to the job?
I think the one that is most exciting, and I think it's, for me, maybe the most exciting transfer of the MLS offseason as I've researched a little bit more and talked to some people, but the Korean international that they've brought in, Wang In-bom, to play in their midfield. He's a playmaker. He's got some dribbling skills. He's going to be a guy they count on to create a lot of chances for Freddy Montero as he comes to a return. This is kind of the number 10, I guess, that the Whitecaps have been searching for a long time and maybe just haven't been able to find it, or they weren't willing to put the investment towards it. They've done that with Wang In-bom up to, I think, $1.8 million for the transfer fee. And, you know, beating out teams, as we've heard rumored, in Germany to acquire his services. And this is a player who, just at the Asian Cup, was named to the starting 11, team of the tournament. He's considered, from the people I've talked to, as a sneaky, like, generational player. Of course, not Sung Heung-min, but he's close to that in their midfield. He means a lot to that country, and it's one of the best Asian countries on the planet. So, in terms of soccer level. So Wang In-bom is, for me, the most exciting and the most important for this team to reach a high ceiling.
Dan, looking at the roster over the last couple of days, I was left wondering a lot about the back line. And it's an enigma, and I'm wondering how will this back line affect the result of a Mark Dos Santos team in Major League Soccer? The midfield and the forward position you can imagine and see success coming out of it. But the back line, there's a lot of questions. What can you tell us about the back line and where things are going to go moving forward?
Yeah, I think there's talent there. There's also youth and a lot of inexperience in MLS. You know, Daniil Henry is, of course, kind of the elder statesman when it comes to Major League Soccer. He had a tough first year with the Whitecaps. I mean, who didn't, especially on the defensive end last year for this squad. But in terms of central defense, I think they start the year with Cornelius and Danielle Henry as the starting center backs. At least that's how I think they'll line up in game one on Saturday. But don't overlook the two other signings that they made there at center half. Eric Odoi comes over from Argentina, and Yasser Kamiri comes from Tunisia. These are two younger players, especially Kamiri, who's just 21. There's a lot of hype around this kid from some of the Whitecaps coaches and some of the people that have watched him in training so far. So there's some talent in the center half position, but as we know, adjusting to MLS isn't always the easiest thing, and I think that's one of the bigger storylines for the Whitecaps is how quickly they get up to speed as a team with how much turnover there is and how much newcomers there are to this league. But really, the big problem spot is left back right now, because they just lost Brett Levis in their last preseason game to a muscular injury. So there's not much confidence that he'll be able to go, at least in the first few weeks of the season. And PC, who came over from Orlando in an off-season trade, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I don't know how well he can play left back. I thought he was brought in to play more of a left midfield or a left wing role. But that would be the main area of weakness right now, along with the inexperience for a lot of those defenders.
One of the crown jewels of the transfer window for the Vancouver Whitecaps, and you can say the biggest amount of money spent on one player in a long time for the Vancouver Whitecaps, is a player you alluded to earlier in Zhang Bom, the Korean player. What is your thought on him and how this team can be built basically around him?
Yeah, he really changes the midfield. And we know Mark Santos is going to play in a 4-3-3. That's how they've lined up all preseason, and that's one of, from what I understand, his trademarks. Dwayne, you can tell me whether or not I'm right on that or otherwise. It seems that he's going to be the main creator there. And that whole midfield three and how it works out is going to be very interesting, because they brought over John Arise as well from Spain, and he looks like a player that can – you know, kind of play in a Michael Bradley-esque role where he's the first line of defense before the center backs and be a quality distributor, which I think the Whitecaps really missed last year. It also allows Felipe to push a little bit further up the field, as I don't think Rabo had him playing in a spot that was really suited to his ability and his strength last year all the time. So I'm curious to see how that works. And then it's all going to revolve around this one kid. And from the early returns, he seems to be very engaged with his teammates, trying to find out their traits, what their likes and no likes are off and on the field. He is completely entrenched. And one thing I like about it, you know, when you look around MLS and you see some of these younger players coming to the league as kind of a stepping stone to get to Europe, it means they're hungry. You know, they want to make the most of this opportunity because they're still trying to make that jump potentially into Europe's top five leagues. And, you know, for a player like Wang and Bohm, that's what this is about. And the other striker that they brought in, Joaquin Ardaiz, that's what this is about as well. And I like that hunger aspect of it, because, you know, these guys are going to be doing everything they can to succeed at the highest level that they can in this league, so that they can make that big move to kind of reach their career goals.
In the past, Dan, one of the things that the Whitecaps really prided themselves on, one of their you know, center points of their marketing even, was their academy. They thought that they were ahead of the curve on that. That they had the residency there for a long time. They certainly you know, have had some early success in that. But in the last few years, that's kind of dried up a little. Is there anything coming from the academy? Anything coming down the pipeline in terms of first team impact that you can point to that you think that the fans might get excited about?
Well, Mark DeSantos has mentioned numerous times that he wants to allow those players, the Whitecaps Academy prospects, to get more time with the first team. And I'm curious to see where that happens, because it doesn't look like there's going to be much in the starting 11 to that effect, but there's a few names that are in the squad for the start of the year. Theo Bear is a forward. There's been a lot of hype around him. He's now 19. I mean, he's just a monstrous kid. He's 6'4", I think, and is kind of a prototypical number nine, if you will, that has a lot of good traits to him. Michael Baldissimo, there's a lot of very high thought about this kid. He's a midfielder, kind of in a number 10 type of role as well, where he's going to look to create a ton of chances. And Simon Colline is just 16 years old, and he got his first team debut towards the end of last year. This kid, maybe not as much hype, not nearly as much hype as Alfonso Davies, with all due respect, but kind of in that same line. Like, he's thought of very, very highly, and we'll see where that goes over the next couple of years. But I think he is the one, Simon Colline, that everybody should be looking for, a midfielder with a ton of talent.
The Whitecaps weren't unsuccessful over the past few years. They were kind of just mediocre. But one of the things that I think a lot of fans got frustrated by is that they had a very not a very attractive brand of soccer. They were playing very direct. They didn't necessarily succeed at a level that justified that. Do you think that it's important that MDS provide exciting soccer to Vancouver to make this team make the market more excited by them?
I think just winning will do the trick, Dwayne. I look back at a couple of years ago, 2017, and Jordy Reyna was on fire towards the end of the summer. The Whitecaps were near the top of the Western Conference. They weren't always playing the greatest soccer, but people bought in. And then when it got to the playoffs and they beat San Jose, got their first MLS playoff win, but then, you know, played like just parking the bus disaster that Rabo had set up in that 2017 semifinal, or, you know, Western Conference semifinal. It was gross, and it left a bad taste in everybody's mouths for the following year. And it completely, I think that's where a lot of people lost faith in Rabo, in this market. And that was kind of one of the drawing points, the end of the line, if you will, for Carl Robinson. And now with MDS, what I think, and when I hear and when I speak to him, it's going to be a style that is a lot of high press. He wants the ball. He wants to win the ball back when they don't have it. Does he have the players to do it? I still have my doubts on that front. There's talent in this squad. I just can't get over like how much turnover there is and how quickly this team is going to have to come together if they're going to ultimately have success. But I think the talent is there, and there's enough that in the long run this can be had. It's just a requirement for MDS to stick to that plan. And from everything I gather from him, he's not too worried about the winless preseason and how they've looked so far. He's about those long-term goals, and from what I gather, he has the backing from ownership on that as well. So in the long run, I think they'll get there, Dwayne. It's just going to be a work in progress at first.
Well, speaking of the work in progress, when we look at the 2019 season, of course, if we ask Mark Dos Santos or anyone in the front office of the Vancouver Whitecaps, everyone will always say the objective and the goal is to make the playoff and then see what happens. But realistically, what is the objective for the Vancouver Whitecaps in the 2019 season? And does the fans need to look at this project in a more than a one-year aspect, and maybe 1 year is the transition, learning, discovery, and growth of a squad, and next year or the year after is the, I would say, the year where you reap your hard work, you reap the rewards of your hard work. So, but first, what's the objective of the 2019 season?
I think it's still playoffs. You know, the bar is just, if we're being honest, like, the bar just isn't that high in MLS, and it's certainly not in the Western Conference. Like, as much as we harp on what happened with the Whitecaps last year, they were still just 3 points. They were one win away from being in that final playoff spot. So I think playoffs are still a realistic goal. Again, it comes down to how quickly this team comes together. Talent-wise, I'd put them up there with most of the teams in the Western Conference outside of a few. But I think when you're talking about, and when you look at some of the recent examples, you know, Atlanta, of course, there was a lot more investment there. Even Toronto, there was a lot more investment there. But their rebuilds, or their builds, if you will, were kind of 2 years, 3 years. Like, for TFC, I look at when they brought in Sebastian Giovinco, they tore some things down after Jermaine Defoe fiasco happened. And then when Giovinco comes in, they were fine for year one. They still had some major flaws in the squad, made the playoffs, and then in the next year they were off and running into the MLS Cup final and falling just short to Seattle. Atlanta, you know, they make the playoffs in their first year in the league with all that investment, and then they're off and running towards MLS Cup final. I look at those kinds of things as for a lot of teams in MLS, like if you're trying to build something, you look at it 2-3 years down the road because the bar just to get to the playoffs isn't that high. I think there's too much turnover to see a very high ceiling with this current club, but getting into the playoffs isn't all that difficult in Major League Soccer, so I think that's still a realistic goal, and it's one that I know Mark DeSantos has for this season.
This is the Whitecaps preview, so I don't want to derail it too much, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about Pacific FC and what the impact of that new team in the BC market has had on the Whitecaps and on soccer in general in the province.
Yeah, it's from the Whitecaps perspective, they lost Marcel Dion to Pacific FC, and now that left-back position is looking it's scary for the Whitecaps, let's just put it that way. It hasn't, the excitement I know from the island and what I hear has been quite big, but that hasn't transferred to the lower mainland and the main part of Vancouver it's a big distance. And I think most soccer fans here in the lower mainland are kind of upset that there isn't a CPL squad here yet. So, once that eventually does happen and a Canadian Premier League squad does come into this part of British Columbia, I think there will be more hype. But from everything I gather, Pacific FC does have a lot of support in the early going. There's some question about where the team is situated because it's just outside of Victoria. So there's a bit worrisome on that front. But still, in the overall, from everything I've heard, there's a lot of support for it. And, I mean, marketing-wise, they've done a hell of a job getting that thing off the ground.
Dan Riccio of Sportsnet 650 and the podcast Fine Lines. I love that name. Of course, we all know the answer to this, but what was your inspiration starting the podcast?
Well, most Whitecaps fans had a running joke going after a while. Carl Robinson's famous line after games, especially losses, fine lines. The game is about fine lines. So when we were thinking up a name for the podcast, it just seemed like a perfect fit because it's not only it is a soccer term that many managers use, but it was a Robboism to the core for him. And I've even heard on a few fronts that he was trying desperately to avoid it towards the end of his tenure last year. But really, the tipping point was when they lost 6-0 to Sporting Kansas City last season, and he somehow found a way to use the term fine lines after a 6-0 loss. I think that was kind of the nail in the coffin that for Whitecaps fans after hearing that again.
Oh yeah, that was something else. It's always an adventure, Major League Soccer, and I have to say it's always a pleasure. Dan, thank you very much for your time today. All the best to you in Vancouver, and hopefully all the best with your new projects.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
And we'll take a small break and come back and talk about the League Cup final. I guess we have to.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And And we're back on Soccer Today. You can follow Dan on Twitter at DanRiccio650 on Twitter to get your Vancouver Whitecaps content. But before we move to Chelsea and the Kepa sorry situation, and of course Man City winning the League Cup, we're just going to touch a bit on the Vancouver Whitecaps. What do you think about the amazing turnover of the roster in the 2019 offseason so far, Dwayne? And what do you see for the Whitecaps in the short-term future?
Look, it's a broken record to talk about how stability is so vital in Major League Soccer, but it's a broken record because it works. So stability matters. And to have this much turnover in a single offseason, it's no joke that the Whitecaps essentially look like an expansion team in terms of the amount of turnover they've had. This is year one of, hopefully, for MDS and for the Whitecaps fans, a long-term commitment to MDS building a program there. In terms of this year, though, look, it's hard to pick them in the playoffs. It really is. If everything goes perfectly, then sure, why not? If their Korean signing is an MLS, MVP quality player, then absolutely. This team could be much better than people expect. But logically, you can't argue that until you see it happen. And the fact that they're winless in preseason, and I don't really put a lot of stock in preseason, as anyone who knows me knows, but that's a bit of a issue. I would suggest that they haven't really come together yet. Suggest to me that this is going to be a struggle off the start. And I think if you're a Whitecaps fan, what you're looking for is like the impact last year. The first half of the season, whatever. Whatever happens, happens. The second half of the season, when these players have had a time to sort of work together, when MDS has had a chance to sort of mold the team a little bit to his hand, if they're improving in the second half of the season, even if they fall short of that low bar, as Dan said, then I think it's a successful season, because this is a long-term project, not a short sprint right now.
That was my thinking as well, but asking Dan how 2019 looks in the grand scheme for 2020 and 2021, where you could expect a lot from the Vancouver Whitecaps, more than just a playoff position, but maybe a run in the playoffs. And with the squad they have now and the building blocks of a squad, I think that there's that option with the building blocks of a manager like Mark Dos Santos. But Dwayne, we're going to talk about Montreal and TFC, of course, in the next few couple of days with the preview. And we're going to talk about the weekend coming. But I think it would be a good exercise to look at the first five games of each Canadian teams in the schedule in Major League Soccer, because the five first games, you can't win the season, but you can create a hole. And just look at Montreal last year, they lost 10 of their first 13 games, and if you look at the grand scheme of things, that's where the points they needed to make the playoffs were. So let's look at the Vancouver Whitecaps' first five games of the season, Dwayne. They start at home against Minnesota on March 2nd at 3 p.m. Pacific. And then they're going to Real Salt Lake to play RSL. Then again on the road to Houston to play the Dynamo at home versus their rival of the Seattle Sounders. And then at home again against L.A., how important of a stretch are those five games for the Whitecaps?
It's obviously, if you want to look at it in the short term, it's important. As you say, you can't win MLS Cup in the first five games, but you can basically put yourself in a hole that you can't dig yourself out of. And that's especially the case in Major League Soccer. If you're 0-5, famously, Montreal fans will enjoy being reminded of Toronto's 0-9 start that one season. It didn't matter what they did the rest of the season after that. The season was done on May 1st, and it kills the entire momentum behind everything at that point, right? So it's important in that way. But I think that, as I said a minute ago, the real importance to the Whitecaps is just building some continuity that they can build into 2020. And it's going to be hard for a Whitecaps fan to hear. Unless you catch complete lightning in a bottle this year, you're not winning MLS Cup, so you might as well just build forward. So I would say that, if you're worried about the playoffs, then yeah, those first five games are important to get a good start. You should, hope that you start the new year off right with a win over, a Minnesota team that, although better, is still Minnesota. You'd want that win there. And after that, you just sort of build on it. It's about how they finish, not how they start. That's my overriding message towards the Whitecaps this year.
I guess it's time now. Let's move to yesterday. League Cup final, Wembley, Chelsea, Man City. It's nil-nil. It's going to to extra time and 30 minutes into extra time. People thought that Kepa was injured, apparently, but he thought he was okay. But his name comes up on the board. He's asked to be subbed off. And a crazy thing happened, Dwayne. The player didn't want to be subbed off. No. Throwing a fit that was equivalent to a five-year-old child dropping his ice cream on a hot summer day and not having refreshment down his throat. But Kepa losing his mind, gesturing, waving, having a moment on the pitch, saying, "No, I'm staying, sorry," losing his mind on the sideline, saying, "What are you doing, buddy? Get out of there." Oh, and Willie, oh, poor Willie. Willie Caballero next to Sari, just like, but, sir. Oh, what a shit show.
Yeah. It was one of the, for the record, the player is claiming today that he didn't understand what was happening, which is a little absurd. What are you new? I guess you don't get subbed out a lot, but.
Is it your first day? You new at this thing? Oh, no. The club paid £70 million for you. Oh, Jesus.
Look, I mean, I don't know how you survived this as the manager, honestly. And that's not an original narrative.
11:30?
If your player's refusing to walk off the pitch, then clearly you don't have control of the room. I mean, we often say that. It's cliche, right?
That's not. It's true. Like, come on. Wait, it's 11:30. Let me just check in case it happened. But I'm actually surprised he made it this far. I was singing all night long on the tune to Guantanamera. Sacked in the morning. He's getting sacked in the morning. Well, I guess morning has come and gone, and he's not sacked, but he will be. And Kepa is going to have some ramifications there. I don't know what do you do? You fire everyone? Just like,
well,
okay.
One of them's got to go. I mean, honestly. Yeah. If they believe that, and, you know, Chelsea has been fairly criticized for being too quick on the trigger when it comes to firing managers. And I think that's a fair criticism of the club. So if they want to change that and they want to keep him, then they need to get rid of the keeper. They need to sell him. They need to sit him down and whatever.
And the window's closed now.
Let Willie play the rest of the season. I mean, yeah. Whatever. Willie's capable-ish.
Yeah. And it would have been well, Chelsea's not like, let's face it. They're not going to come back. I don't know if they can come back from this. We'll see. They're decent in the league, but Champions League spot looks iffy at best, and they might end up in Europa League or with no Europe altogether for next year. So at this point, what do you do? Do you go all in for this season and try to do something to make chicken salad out of, well, what's happening right now? Or do you just, like, throw the white towel, build for next year, sack Sarri right now, let Zola be the caretaker manager? Hey, look at the last caretaker manager in Premier League, what he has done. Unbeaten in 10. Who knows what can happen from this point? But I think that's the likeliest scenario is Sarri gets sacked in the next few minutes, days, weeks. We'll see what happens. But Zola can become the caretaker manager of Chelsea. And then you look at the future. Zola could be the actual manager for a long time, and maybe that's what Chelsea needs. A former legend that has been working behind the scenes, paying his dues, taking over, and having a bit more leeway with not just the fans, but with the owners and the front office, which is the big, I would say, letdown of all the coaches, is that relationship, the owner and manager relationship, which it breaks down and it makes your job and your job security very thin. Now, if you put a legend of the club, maybe it's Frank Lampard, Derby County manager right now. That could be a possibility. But someone like those two, someone that does have experience as a manager, but more importantly, has experience with Chelsea and the current ownership group and the current front office people. So would that relationship give you a bit more of a long leash? And then maybe they find their manager that will stay there more than, heck, I was going to say 3 years, but lately it's been two. So maybe they find their manager for the next decade in Zola or in Lampard.
Yeah, they've got to do something in that regard. I mean, there's been rumors that they're going to bring Mourinho back, which would be...
No. If they do that, well, bye-bye, Chelsea. We'll see.
Yeah, it would be a mistake. That man is a caricature of himself right now. So regardless, I just don't think he can manage modern players. But, and that seems harsh to say how quickly things change, but not to make this a Mourinho conversation, but there's a clearer evidence that he struggles to relate to younger players at this point. And that's something that a lot of managers in a lot of different sports are facing right now. But anyway... Yeah, look, I've never seen anything like that yesterday. And it has distracted, I guess, from the fact that they did lose, although it also has distracted from the fact that, they lost 6-0 to the same club less than 2 weeks ago.
And they managed to play
0-0 over 120 minutes. So that's a victory unto itself there. I mean, obviously, they lost the skills competition at the end there, which...
Well, which they could have been a total different scenario if, again, Kepa didn't pull a fit, or I don't know what was wrong, having a seizure on the white line, I don't know, just dancing around and trying to juke Aguero. But, if he didn't dance around and move that half a step to the right before diving to his left, he might have stopped that shot because he put a hand on it and it just went beneath him. So with his antics, again, he might have cost Chelsea the League Cup.
If you're going to refuse to come off, you better win the penalty shootout,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Dude, you want to put the spotlight on yourself like that? You put yourself on the spot by throwing a fit live in front of millions and millions of people? Stop the shot. Otherwise, you'll be shot. Like, not violently. You'll be like... Your confidence will be shot and you'll be done for, and your relationship with the club just exploded because you just, it's one of those things that I don't know how you, if you can come back from it. It's like one of those, I would say, turning point. This is the turning point in his career where this might be over. Like, he might be blackballed and he might be having a bad reputation on him, tainted because of that event.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, when he refused to come off, there were a lot of boos in that stadium, and I don't think they were all just coming from, the left side of the screen, right? It seemed like the whole stands was like, what are you doing?
It's like disrespectful in a way to the manager and to the idea of sorry. Like, it's disrespectful to the game to a point.
Yeah, it's trending on, it's like a Twitter moment on Twitter. And if you read the comments under some of it, it's like, yeah, I saw that once before in a U9 game. What is happening? This is a cup final at Wembley. Anyway, it's, look, in terms of the, I thought Chelsea, if you want to move away from this, I thought that they did well to recover from the big loss not that long ago. And although City had most of the ball, they defended with skill, and they defended, to the point that they were able to create a few opportunities on their own, and they were fully deserving to take that game to where it did. City won the shootout, but, in terms of the overall contest, that's essentially a draw. So, yeah, it was, no one's talking about that, though. No one really cares. City won a trophy, yawn, right?
It's another one.
Insane what happened.
Just another one for City, and Chelsea will have to find another way to maybe get a ticket to Europe next year. Because that's maybe the only
is their ticket to Europe, but
well, they could win the Europa League, but it's the caliber of play in Europa League. It's not your brother's Europa League. There's big clubs in that thing, and I don't know if Chelsea could beat another club like the way they played. Well, it depends where they go from now, but we'll see. On paper, Chelsea still has it.
Leipzig is my pick to win the Europa League.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Can Chelsea overcome that? I don't know. We'll see. It can happen or it won't. We'll see. But we'll see if Sarri comes back tomorrow. I'll stop saying we'll see. And Dwayne can be followed on Twitter at 24th Minute. Myself at Kev Larame. And we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Soccer Today, the world of football with a soccer perspective. And until next time, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.